shed.
Hello and welcome to door 18 of the Cosmic Shed Advent Calendar. Parental advisory on this one. Let's see who's behind the door.
My name is Florence Schechter and I am a science communicator and I'm also the director of the Vagina Museum. I do comedy about science, so I perform like shows and comedy sets where I use science as my inspiration. I do a bit of writing, a bit of filmmaking, and I also do whatever people will pay me to do. Oh, you know, I was actually doing comedy before I was doing science communication because I come from like a performer background. My dad is a musician, so I've always been involved in like the performing arts of various kinds, and comedy was like a really natural thing that I started doing at uni. And it was in my third year of university. I was studying biochemistry and I didn't know what I wanted to do. I did a research project and I was like, okay, I definitely don't want to be a research scientist. That was horrible. Being a biochemist is so, the bench work is so boring. But I still really like science. And so I thought, how can I combine my love of performing arts with my love of science? And I discovered what science communication was because I didn't actually know. It wasn't an option that was presented to me at uni. Like we were told you could be a forensic scientist or you could go study medicine or you could do all these things. But being a science communicator wasn't one of those things. Until I volunteered at the Big Bang Affair, because it was in the same city that I went to uni, and then I discovered that this was actually a job.
Cool. And does it work? Do people, you know, come away from your comedy gigs going, ah, I want to be an astrophysicist now?
I don't know if people come out saying they want to do that job, but people definitely come out saying that was really fun and interesting and I didn't know science could be fun, which was great. Somebody who works in the Science Museum actually said, when I performed at the Science Museum late, she brought her friend who normally hates science and she saw my comedy and she said to her friend, I didn't realise science could be fun. And her friend, who works at the Science Museum, was like, this is what I've been trying to tell you.
So you're better than the Science Museum. That's pretty good.
No. The Science Museum rejected me for a job once, so...
Hey.
Okay. I know. But then they employed me to train their explainers, so I clearly got better or one-upped them. I don't know.
That happens occasionally. You go for a job and they say, we think you're destined for better things.
Yeah. Yeah.
But in this case, they were telling the truth.
Aww.
It says on your website that you worked for QI.
I did, yeah. I was an intern, so I feel like I wasn't an elf. I was like a pixie. and yeah, I interned there for like 8 months or something. And I mostly worked on the app Quictionary. If you download it, it's really fun. It's like a game and you have to like guess the words and... when you get the word, you get a good fact. And so I had to, like, match words with facts. Do you know what my favourite fact I learned when I was working at QI?
Go on.
There is one country in the world that still hasn't given women the vote. Do you know which one it is?
I know Switzerland did it stupidly recently. I don't know.
You want to take a guess? Or should I just tell
you? Yeah, you tell me.
It's the Vatican City.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because they do vote for their leader. They vote for the Pope, but the only people who have suffrage are the cardinals, and only men can be cardinals.
But biochemistry, why did you choose that?
Because I didn't get into medicine. I come from a quite conservative Jewish family. So the only jobs that were available to me as I was growing up was barrister, doctor or teacher, and I didn't want to be a barrister and I definitely didn't want to be a teacher, so I guess I was becoming a doctor. And I did chemistry, physics and maths at A level, and even though I got pulled by Cambridge, I didn't get in anywhere else, so I had to take a forced gap year. And in my gap year I was a healthcare assistant, so like a nursing assistant, and it made me realize I never want to work in a hospital. It's horrible. It's so hard. And I have so much respect for anyone who works in a hospital. So I studied biochemistry instead because it sounded vaguely interesting. And I was like, I just want to go to uni. Yeah. I still really enjoy biochemistry. But having done it, I wish I would have done something like microbiology, which I found way more interesting.
Okay. Okay, but right, so I mean, I don't want to have a go at your dad, but you said he was a musician, and then as a family, you're only being given these other opportunities. Why can't you be a musician?
My dad always told me never to be a musician because he knows what it's like. It's so hard. Being a freelancer, any kind of freelancer, is, you know, you're constantly uncertain about where your income is going to be. It's like, you know, any day all your clients could walk out and then you've got nothing. He was like, I don't want that uncertainty and stress on you. So you should get like a regular, well-paid job. And then I became a freelancer.
So you're a science fiction fan? Do you watch any?
Yeah, I am a science fiction fan.
What do you watch?
What do I watch?
Whatever.
Oh, yeah. So I was going to talk about books, but I am actually literally in the middle of watching Lost in Space, this Netflix show. It is literally on my TV being Chromecast right now. And I thought I could finish the episode before we spoke, but I forgot how time works. and Lost in Space, it's like a really interesting conceit, but the science is so bad. Like it's like they didn't even bother checking like basic stuff. The planet is going past a black hole, which somehow is going to kill all life on this planet, but isn't going to destroy the planet?
Well, I think Mrs. Robinson explains that.
Yeah, yada yada, science words.
Are you enjoying it, though?
I am enjoying it, yes, yeah. It's not like up there best of the best, but it's better than some of the other things I've seen on Netflix.
So what do you read, then?
I'm currently reading... it's called Life After Sex, I think, by Arathi Prasad. And I'm just going to double check. Hold on. Oh, no. It's called Like a Virgin.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And it's how science is redesigning the rules of sex. And it's talking about how, you know, like modern technologies about how to make babies and how people used to think how babies were made. It's very interesting. Could we make babies from two women or two men, for example? Because there's something like you can take the stem cells of a person and make it into an egg or make it into a sperm, even though that person isn't the right sex.
Okay, so gene-edited babies.
have you ever seen Gattaca?
Yeah.
Yeah. So no, not a good
thing. But it's, I'm like, because there's this guy, what's his name? He, who is, at the moment, is in the news because he's gene-edited babies so that they don't get HIV.
Right.
And I'm like, that seems okay. I'm okay with that. Where, do we have to have a slippery slope? Can we not just stick with that?
Yeah, I think you're right. I think the slippery slope is often a fallacy. And it just needs to be really heavily regulated. Because the problem is like Britain might say, yes, you can just have it for this one little thing. But another country will get that technology and then not have the same regulation. And suddenly we're doing eugenics again.
Yeah. Okay, fair enough. So the Vagina Museum.
So the Vagina Museum is going to be the world's first bricks and mortar museum dedicated to the gynecological anatomy. Because did you know there is a penis museum in Iceland? But there's no vagina equivalent anywhere in the world. It's going pretty well. We've done two temporary exhibitions so far. One was called Exhibitionist, which is an art exhibition. And one is called Is Your Vagina Normal, which is a science exhibition. Spoiler, yes, it is. Your vagina is normal. Don't worry. And we've done lots of events. In about a year and a half that we launched, we've done about 30 events. And now we're currently looking for a temporary space. Keep your eyes on this space. Sign up to our mailing list because you may or may not get exciting news.
Okay. I assume if people Google Vagina Museum, they'll find you.
Oh, yeah. Like, we're now top of the list. We're now top of almost anything vagina related. If you Google vagina art, for example, we're like the third to come up.
Okay.
Only if you have safe search on. we're vaginamuseum.co.uk. And on Twitter and Instagram, we're vagina_museum. But on Facebook, we're the museum because Facebook was like, vagina's a naughty word.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
And is penis a naughty word?
I didn't check.
Okay.
To be honest. But I did check on the Charity Commission website. So we're registering as a charity and you have to like type in what your name is and they automatically check it. to make sure there's not like a protected word in there. So for example, like you can't call yourself the royal something or other without permission from the queen.
Right.
But they also check for rude words, and vagina museum, it was like, this is a rude word. And I was like, what's wrong with the word museum? So I tried other words. Yeah. And vaginal was fine, vagina was not. And I think somebody was just like, I'm going to think of all the naughty words and put them on the list, but forgot you could make them into adjectives. So I had to like write a whole case about why I think the vagina museum should be called the vagina museum. They were like, you can call it that as long as you make a really good argument. So I did say like, well, vaginal is okay.
The fact that there's a penis museum doesn't say to me, therefore we have to have a vagina museum. It means... let's stop having a penis museum.
No, the penis museum is great.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. I mean, it's like a load of animal penises stuffed and in jars. So like there's a whale penis and it's like 5 foot tall. And because it's in Iceland where they believe in lots of mythical creatures, there's like troll penises and fairy penises. Okay. Yeah, it's lots of fun.
Are fairies men as well as women?
Yeah. How do you think fairies reproduce?
I don't think they do. I think
they just live forever.
Yeah.
Well, they come out the ground, like Aristotle thought bugs are made.
Well, this book that you made up, Life After Sex, that probably explains how fairies.
I should write that book. Yeah. It's a great title, though.
Yes, it is. Life After Sex. It's likely to happen. or possible, at least. Do you read science fiction as well as popular science?
Yes, I really like H.G. Wells. I like the classics. I recently read War of the Worlds, actually, because I'd read like quite a lot of his other stuff, like First Men on the Moon and The Time Machine, and I never read War of the Worlds. And now I live in London and I grew up in London. So he's describing all these places, like really specific stuff. And I'm like, I know that road. That road is full of like Polish delis. Now, and it's, I loved imagining what it must have been like at that time. And also how he had similar problems. Like he talks about how he tried to cycle up Haverstock Hill, which is 2 minutes away from me right now. And I was like, I have that same problem. It is a horrible hill. Yeah. That hasn't changed in 100 years.
Yeah, that's awesome. It's a wonderful thing. I like that whole reading kind of, although it's not really, but kind of reading hard science fiction, that's classic hard science fiction that's for at least is based on reality. Like, have you read Fred Hoyle's The Dark Cloud, I think it's called?
Oh, no.
Oh, you should read that. It's beautiful. It's just from a point of view, well, if you're massively nerdy about astronomy, it's beautiful. It kind of puts you back in the mindset of the astronomy community in, you know, the 40s, 50s, or whenever it was. And, yeah, just thinking about the differences or appreciating the differences between the way they were doing astronomy then on paper and the way that it's done now with massive computerized telescopes in space. It's kind of cool. Have you got the album, War of the Worlds?
No, I never listened to it.
Really? We should stop this conversation. You should go and listen to it.
Yeah, maybe I'll put it on next time I'm on the tube.
Have you seen the film?
I saw the one with Tom Cruise.
I'm sorry that happened.
So am I. But I haven't. And what other movies are there?
There was a 50s one, which is kind of okay. But no, just stick to the radio play, the album, and the book. I mean, even the book, though, it suffers, right? Because it has this kind of, oh, and then it was still kind of, that's how it ended. I'm not going to spoil it for people who haven't. But it's sort of, oh, it's about, oh, and it's finished.
Yeah, and it just, like, ends without any of, like, the characters being involved. It just ends.
Yeah. And that's the problem you have if you make a film with Tom Cruise. Well, that's not the only problem you have if you make a film with Tom Cruise, but one of the problems that you have if you make a film is that yeah, you've got the end of the story is just like, and it's over. But that's kind of a beautiful thing on an album. And that's why I think the album kind of works quite nicely.
Do you know what my favourite bit is?
Yeah.
Is I share this on my Twitter and I can't remember the exact quote, but it's the bit when the brother is like looking out of his window being like, what's all the kerfuffle about? And his landlord's husband come in to see what all the noise is. And the line in the book genuinely says, the landlord's husband came in ejaculating everywhere. But like in 1898, it meant something different. Yeah. But it was very funny to read.
So what did it mean in 1898?
Like he was like, what's going on? No, 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 no.
Oh, okay. What do you want to see in 2019?
I want to see the vagina museum being built. I want to see the country not totally turning into Mad Max Fury Road because of Brexit. And I want to see more puppies.
Okay. How many puppies have you got?
None.
Oh, okay.
But I live right next to Primrose Hill. So, like, I want a 10% increase on puppies visiting Primrose Hill.
Okay. London, if you're listening, that's what we're doing.
Make it happen.
Have you got anything coming up? You got any shows? You doing Agony Uncles or anything?
I do have a show coming up. So on the 20th of February at 9:15, I'm going to be performing my show Queer by Nature at the Network Theatre as part of Vault Festival. And it's a show that's all about same-sex sexual behaviour or homosexual behaviour in animals and why it's actually evolutionary beneficial. And I draw on like personal experiences and personal stories, and I also talk about the history of science and how it's like affected how we study animal sex. And there's lots of jokes, lots of innuendos. It's going to be lots of fun.
Without doing a spoiler, how is it beneficial?
We have to come see the show. There's loads of so basic principle, right? There is a decoupling in the natural world between sex and procreation. So, like, you can have sex without making babies. We know this. Even without contraception, this is still possible. Yeah. Because you can have oral sex, you can have anal. Yes, animals do anal. But also you can have, like, penetrative sex without there being babies. So anyway, because as soon as you accept the fact that we can have all different types of sex, then why shouldn't we have it with people like of the same sex? Because there are benefits, bonding and releasing tension. You can use it to trade for things. You can use it to climb up the hierarchy. You can use it to protect yourself from violence. There's loads of benefits. Here's a teaser. Bonobos use lesbianism to fight the patriarchy.
Hey,
and if you want to find out how, you have to come see the show.
Okay. Well, I probably can't come and see the show because I don't know where that theatre is.
It's in Waterloo in London.
Okay. Okay, I can come and see the show then. That sounds
yay!
Good.
I've got 80 seats to fill, so I need everyone to come.
Okay. Well, if all our listeners come, you're sold out. And actually, there's people outside.
That'd be nice.
Thanks so much to Florence Schechter for talking to me. And we've had some pretty varied conversations so far. And a bit of a spoiler, but I won't tell you which day it is. We've actually got R2-D2. The guy who controls R2-D2 on all the films since The Force Awakens is going to be in this advent calendar. See you tomorrow.
The Cosmic Shed.
Science fact.
Science fiction.
And everything in between.